In the dim dark past, the world was not as it is. The continent Mu is unknown now, but long ago it stood as the centre of the world. And there, in the north, the tribe of the Bear Cave lived and died with only their ingenuity and prodigious magical gifts to keep them safe. Little did they realise that a storm was brewing around them that would change their way of life forever. Join us now as we experience their time in Paleomythic, Tribe of the Bear Cave. Hello and welcome to the Cult of Tea and Dice. I'm Mordrigan, I'll be your GM for tonight for Paleomythic, the Tribe of the Bear Cave, Tribal Council, Session 11. However, I am going to be running it. I've got players. I'm going to go backwards, I think, and start with Loka.
Today I am Fren.
Fren, the man who makes you scream with his bony, bony fetish. And then Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Lock, the Brawler Priest.
And then Blooded.
I am Lop. I'm not Lop. I'm Bloodied, and I am playing Kursk, the sneaky archery thiefy chap fellow.
That was wrong in every way.
It was
spectacular.
What the fuck, yeah.
And then we have Archive.
Hello, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Sorin, who is a crafty tracker.
Okay. Could somebody please let me know what happened in the last session of Paleomythic? Okay, everybody went quiet. Am I still connected?
Yeah, it's just been a while.
Yeah, I
probably should have read my notes before this, but I didn't.
Deep storage failure.
Yep, pretty much.
So we were investigating what the actual issue was between the heart-eating tribe and the tribe of the poison vine.
Yes.
And we went around and spoke to several people about it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the elk spirit wanted to know why we were allying ourselves with Grand Mac when he's like a small tribe. And what else? So it all seems to have been a bit of a misunderstanding involving some goods being sent to the heart-eating tribe, who then mostly died like the week after. So they then kind of went out and attacked the poison vines, who think it was for no reason. And they then raised some of the poison tribe dead to, be part of their tribe. That makes sense?
I think so, yes. So basically, they had the heart-eating tribe was trading with the tribe of the poison vines, and then the heart-eating tribe, a ton of their people basically just up and died. And they assumed that, like, the poison tribe, the tribe that does all the poisoning, maybe had something to do with that. And then they raised a load of dead and went and gave them a shooing. From the other side, it kind of looked like they got a shooing for no reason. Anywho, so I believe we left it, however, when the War Shouters, the leader of the War Shouters, whose name I totally have written down somewhere, Vanessa. Unamara the Screaming Banshee. Unamara the Screaming Banshee was, I believe, attempting to cancel the whole meeting on the basis that, well, the Snake Tribe haven't turned up, so I don't think we should go ahead. And I think you guys were thinking about going and talking to your friendly Snake Tribe shaman?
Yeah, I believe we were all kind of just saying that there was one member of the Snake Tribe here, but I don't know where she is.
She's with your group, I think. So I think you were heading over to talk to her. That's certainly what I thought. I have in my head that's what we were going to... So you head over to your little group. And yeah, the snake tribe... Snake tribe shaman who you basically had with you for quite some time now is she's sort of standing there and looking a little bit concerned, like she also would quite like to know where her tribe's got to. She spots you coming over and wanders over to you. Mm-hmm.
We were just hearing the war shouters are wanting to break up the meeting because your tribe isn't here?
I mean, I'd noticed that the tribe wasn't here. I mean, my tribe is between the war shouters and the tool breakers. Like, between them. So, it's entirely possible that they can't get here. Even though, like, travelling to this meeting, everybody else is allowing even their enemies to pass through their lands. You'll note the tribe of the Poison Vines are here, and I don't think they get on very well with the heart-eating tribe.
Mm.
But they didn't try and stop them coming. But I don't think... I mean, what do you think? Should we talk to the sun worshippers, or should we try and talk to my tribe through the spirit world?
I think at the very least we should talk to the sun worshippers and make it clear that there's at least a potential representative here.
I'm not a leader, I'm a shaman in my tribe, but I'm not a leader of my tribe. I don't know if I'd be allowed to make decisions on the basis of my tribe.
Well, we can try the spirit realm communication thing afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is that they know there's an option.
Okay. I'll go with you, but like you're gonna have to talk to them. I'm sort of the idea. I can definitely get us into the spirit world to look.
Okay, I'm not much with the whole spirit thing.
I can get us all in there, and then we can travel through the spirit world to where the great snake spirit resides. I think you've been there before.
I believe we've met before. Didn't we have to do something for him to unwrap?
You had to answer riddles, if my power worked correctly. But yes, I can get you to him.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way any of your tribe who might be more accepted as decision makers could visit in spirit? I'm not sure if that's a thing.
I mean, potentially. I don't know whether that would... I don't know whether it'd count, as it were. But we should probably deal with that when we've dealt with the other bits.
Fair enough. You're more of an expert on that sort of thing than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we go see the sun worshippers, okay. Unless other people have got stuff to say.
No, you seem to be handling it.
Okay. Oh. Great. I was hoping that wasn't the case. But
should we grab coal on the way, maybe? And
you can grab coal. He's basically been talking to some of the other members of your tribe and trying to suggest to them that maybe they might want to go and see the elk tribe. To quite try and get them on your side, as it were, or at least lure them in your direction. But yeah, he sees you all coming over and he stops and he's like, yes, what?
I can't even remember a name. What was the snake tribe lady's name? Do we?
I can't remember having given her one. I'm afraid it has been a long time since I ran this game before, and an even longer time since I introduced this character. I think she's just the Snake Tribe Shaman. I'm not certain, though.
Oh, okay. We found the Snake Tribe Shaman that came with us.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
She suggested maybe trying going into the spirit world to
to talk to
find
them,
out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that would be acceptable for the rest of the tribes?
Finding out what's happened to them is certainly a good idea. If we're doing it in our encampment, I don't think they can really complain. I mean, Grand Max got undead with him. So, I mean, they're having to bite that for a start. I can go and talk to the sun worshippers if you wish about this and see if they'd be willing to allow us to bring them in through the spirit world, or I don't really know how the spirit world works.
Me neither particularly, but yes, potentially that's an option.
I would say go immediately. Go through the spirit world and see what's happening.
Okay, we'll make the arrangements then.
Okay. Yeah, I'm guessing you head over to the shaman again. Strangely enough, she's kind of expecting this, I think. Given what you were all talking about, she's already laying out incense and things like that. As you come back over, she's like, did he agree to send us?
Yes.
Good. Will it be all of you?
The four of us.
Okay. She gathers you round, sits you in a little circle around this pile of incense that she's got in front of her. She's got like these like oil lamps about. She's got this the pile of incense in the middle. She's got a few like unguents and herbs. It's very different to how Odina got you into the spirit world previously. She starts anointing you with like the unguents and burning herbs and blowing them under your nostrils, and then she literally just sets the entire pile of stuff in front of you on fire, and you can all feel like the smoke starts going into your lungs, and then as it's going into your lungs you start feeling a bit weird, a bit floaty, a bit light, and then you just sort of lift up and away from your bodies and find yourself in the spirit world. I don't think any of you have been in the spirit world near the meeting stones, have you?
No, not that I recall.
Excellent.
I think we went by it the last time we were here.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty bright. For a start, you know how the meeting stones is like five stones sticking up out of the ground, like the fingers of a hand? They are much, much bigger in the spirit world. They're like 200 to 300 foot tall. They're jagged, they're spiky. They have definite claws on the end of the fingers, and they definitely look like actual fingers. And in between them, there's just like this glowing light that is very bright, unbelievably bright. It's almost like the sun in the real world is just sat between those glowing, those huge stone fingers, and it's so bright around here. The snake tribe shaman is there with you. She kind of looks like herself, some green leather, longish black brown hair, a sort of oval-looking face with olivish skin, brown eyes. But from the waist down, she's a snake in the spirit world. And she's like, okay, if you'll follow me, I will lead us to the land of the god of the snakes. And she sets off. Now, you're well aware that the spirit world is a weird and strange place. Yeah. You've been in the spirit world before. It wasn't great. However, you actually find that you have a much easier time of it this way through. She leads you. You don't know whether she's leading you specifically through easier areas, or she's leading you through secret ways, or if she's doing something that is making it so that, like the wolves for a start are not bothering you quite so much and so on. But it is way easier to travel this time around than it was last time. It feels like a couple of hours, but you're pretty sure it isn't, because you don't feel the pull to drag you back to the real world, and you would have expected to feel that by now. You reach where you previously met the snake. Now, if I remember correctly, the snake last time was absolutely enormous, was it not?
Yep, it was pretty big.
Well, for all of you, you're getting to the dip where the snake was, and you're expecting like an enormous snake, and it is eerily quiet and eerily empty. And the shaman turns to you and I don't understand. Where is the snake spirit? You're on the edge of this big dip in the ground.
Has it always been here before?
Well, yes, this is where it is. This is where the snake spirit resides.
Where would your tribe reside in relation to here?
So the spirit world and the real world are somewhat in sync, but not quite. This would be where our tribe's totem is, but our actual tribe's like settlement is quite some way to the south.
Okay, not saying this in character.
Right.
Which ones were the ones that liked to take totems and desecrate them?
Both the Tool Breakers and the War Shouters seem to have a penchant for that, but you've definitely seen the Tool Breakers doing it.
Right. Okay. What I will say is, if you move the totem, would the snake go with it? Or is that not how this works?
Maybe. We've never moved the totem, so I don't know. Hardwick, you have experienced something like this. When you were moving away from the cave where you all live, your power kept getting less and less. And then again, when you were in the caves behind your cave and you found that cave bear skull, your power became much, much, much more. So certainly the proximity to the totem does have an effect.
Okay.
You don't know whether if you move the totem, you necessarily move the god, but certainly you moving closer to what you assume was the totem of your god definitely had an effect.
Right.
I don't...
Obviously. Sorry.
Continue. I'm confused. I don't know where the god is.
Oh, no, that was going to be an out-of-character question, so okay. If you want to do in-character, carry on.
No, go on. Ask the out-of-character question first.
Out-of-character question is, obviously, Soren's aware of the spirit world and the real world are different things, but her instincts are this spirit is based upon an animal, so it might be worth seeing if there's any evidence of a large snake being around here recently.
Okay. Do me a tracking check. You've got tracking and everything.
Yes, I'm guessing this will still be a check because it's.
Yeah.
I only make an aware test on difficult ground and when visibility is poor.
Yep. So, you're in the spirit world. So, yeah, you're making a check.
I figured that would be the case. I do get a 6 on that.
Okay. You look around and, you definitely see signs of a snake. Because there's not a huge enormous snake, but there is quite a large snake. It is so in the bottom of this dip, there's a lot of like loose stones, and as you're wandering about trying to check, you see something slither under the stones. It's not as big as the snake you remember, but there's definitely a snake under those stones somewhere.
Soren will look up at the snake tribe shaman and just beckon her over.
Have you found something? She wanders over. The stones have stopped moving by the time she gets to you.
There is a snake here, but only a small one.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll basically point out where the snake is.
Okay. She kneels down and she starts scraping the stones out of the way. And a couple of seconds after she does, she finds the skin of this big-ish snake and lays a hand on it. And the whole thing rears up. It is a big snake. Think an anaconda-sized snake. So, what, 30 centimetres around, about 20 metres long? But that's not as big as the fucking ginormous snake you saw before. And it sort of slithers around and then rears up in front of you all. You're back. And with one of mine. What do you want now? The snake tribe shaman seems a little bit confused. Who are you? I am the great snake spirit. Please, please hurry up. Ask me what you want to know. What's wrong with you? It has been many, many, many days since any of your people have come here. There are people doing things that I do not like, so I sleep. Do you want anything else? Why are you bothering me? He seems like cross with you all.
We were hoping to get into contact with, well, you and your tribe.
Well, I have not seen my tribe for many, many days. They have not bothered to come and do their rites. They have not bothered to come and do their rituals. They have obviously turned their back on me, and I do not have the energy to deal with that. The snake tribe shaman looks really shocked and somewhat worried at that. She sort of waves to you all to go and talk to her a little ways away from the snake. If my tribe has not been here to do their rites in a number of days, that is unusual. I mean, I said we lived a little ways away. It's not like a long walk away. It's relatively close by. And we perform rites at the totem twice a day.
Then it is likely they are being prevented somehow.
Well, if he's saying that people are doing things here, then I think you can guess what's probably happened.
Well, I didn't want to say it.
No, but this is more concerning because if the snake spirit isn't helping them, then I don't know what effect that would have on their magic, and the snake tribe relies on its magic.
Are there any rites that could be done while you're here?
Yes, sort of. I can remain here and perform rites to the snake spirit here. If you can go back and, I don't know, get the tool breakers and the war shouters to leave the totem, or get the sun worshippers to demand that they leave the totem, maybe that will help.
Is there anywhere you trying to locate the totem?
I'm sorry, what do you mean? Well, find it.
Are you able to, like, sense where, like, is more powerful than, you know, which direction there's more power in?
The totem is definitely here, because the snake is here, which means the totem is in the same place as it's always been.
Right, okay.
It's just that my tribe isn't able to perform its rites, I think. I can stay here and do the rites that we should be doing in the real world here, as long as you can protect my body and make sure nothing happens to me in the real world. And while I'm doing that, if you can do something. I don't know what. It is too far for you to go, and you would have to pass the lands of the Toolbreakers. But maybe there's something the Sun Worshippers could do, a demand that the Sun Worshippers could make. The Tribe of the War Shouters has Shaman with them, so if they are performing some kind of rite, they would be able to get word back to their tribes to stop perhaps?
We can but ask, will you be able to return? And alternatively, if we need to get to you, how would we do so?
You'd need a shaman. So unless you have another shaman, I mean, technically you do, but Odina is certainly not appearing in this movie. But you'd need another one to come in to the world.
For now, then, we shall return and see what may be done.
Very well. I will...
I rather think this may have been their intent.
Well, yes, but until the snake tribe gets here, we can't allow them to start the meeting.
If the snake tribe do not arrive soon, they will cancel the meeting.
Yes, and that's a problem. That's terrible. I'll perform the rites here to try and wake the snake spirit, and if you can persuade the sun worshippers or one of the other tribes or the tool breakers themselves or the war shouters, whoever it is, if you can persuade them to stop doing whatever it is that they are doing, if I wake the snake spirit, perhaps that will be enough on its own, but perhaps it won't. So if you can support me from back in the real world.
We will do our best.
Very well. I will send you home. And she slaps you in the forehead. And you literally fly back down the paths that you took. Now, you were traveling for a fair time, and you cover the distance in approximately 40 seconds. So it is ridiculously fast. If anybody remembers the film Constantine, the part where Rachel Weisz gets dragged through the building, that's basically you guys. And you get back to your bodies, you are slammed back into your bodies so hard that you all sort of stand up and stagger and fall away from the fire that she lit in the middle.
Well, that was a trip.
She's still unconscious.
Okay, right. So we need to keep her safe, because the moment the tool breakers or the war shouters, the shamans find out that she's doing something, they are going to want to off her. Do they even know she's here? I don't think groups have been really secret.
No, they've probably seen her.
Mm.
And at least one of them, one of the groups, you stole her from them because she was their prisoner.
Oh, same bunch. Okay.
Yeah, the Toolbreakers.
I mean, yes, same tribe, but is it the same people?
Well, the leader's there.
Oh.
And you definitely saw him when you hoiked her out.
Okay, so I guess Cole is around. He needs updating.
Mm-hmm. So you wander over to Cole. Oh, you're back already?
Yes, minus one snake shaman.
He looks concerned when you say that.
She's still in there.
Right.
Because the snake tribe, who are usually a two rituals a day kind of tribe, haven't been to their totem in, I believe the great snake spirit called it many days?
Right.
Many days. And she is going to try and do the rites they would do outside at the totem from inside to see if that helps matters. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, wants us to talk to... did she say the sun worshippers? I can't remember. My brain is soup this evening.
It depends on what you're asking me.
Well, she thinks they're being prevented from getting to their totem.
Hmm. I mean...
So there are two main sources of that to look for.
Well, I think probably both, if I'm honest.
Quite possibly.
So she's going to try and do the rites from inside the spirit world, yes?
That's what she said. It's not my area of expertise.
Is there any way we can help her from here?
Keep her body safe?
I mean, we can attempt to do that. Anybody attempting to harm her would break the rules of the sun worshippers anyway.
In terms of keeping this meeting going until, certainly seems to be of the opinion that the Snake Tribe are attempting to attend. And is not of the opinion that she can stand in to represent them. So her current motive is to see if we can keep things going, at least until the delegation she believes can arrive. And wants us.
That's part of what she said, yeah.
It is late. Yeah. My brain is soup. Yeah.
I didn't entirely follow what she said. I'm a bit confused.
The other thing she said was, please try and get the sun worshippers to stop the tool breakers and the war shouters from doing whatever it is they're doing at the totem.
I was coming up to that bit, actually.
Ah, right, okay, good.
This is like, she also wants us to intercede with the sun worshippers to, you know, try and make the war shouters and the tool breakers stop whatever it is they're doing.
Right. I mean, that's not a bad call. If they're preventing the snake tribe from making it to us, that contravenes the spirit of the agreement to have this meeting, at least.
It certainly does. And if the Snake Tribe is trying to attend or has been prevented already from attending, then that puts them further on the naughty list.
Okay. You go and speak to the Sun Worshippers, specifically you. He looks over at you, Soren. They like you because you prevented Granmach from dying. So if you go and speak to them, and then I will go and speak to some of the other tribes and see if we can make a larger, like a larger, what's the word I'm looking for?
Block?
Delegation? Demand? Either way, we'll try and see if we can get more people to make the same demand. You go speak to the sun worshippers. And I'll see what I can do. And he immediately heads off, actually in the direction of Granmach, which may or may not be a help to you all, but anyway.
I will do this. At some point, we should also work out what to do about them. And Soren just sort of nods her head at Granmach and then at the poison vines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah, then she goes to talk to the sun worshippers.
Well, you head over to the meeting stones, and again, there's just the two sun worshippers there, and they look at you as you're approaching. Do you require Heartfire, our leader?
That may be for the best.
Very well. And he goes and blows a horn, and within a couple of seconds, Heartfire Sinessa, with her massive great headdress, turns up. Yes. Ah, it is yourself. How can I help you?
We have been with the shaman of the Snake Tribe into the spirit world.
Uh-huh.
Their rites have not been done.
Mm-hmm.
And their totem, the spirit, said that things are being done at the totem, which it does not like.
Uh-huh.
If there is the chance of them making it to this meeting, this has to stop.
So you believe that, and she rolls her eyes so hard you almost feel them click out of the side of her head, that certain people may be doing things to prevent them?
Yes.
Give me a moment. She turns to the guy who blew the... who blew the horn and sort of whispers in his ear. And he rushes off in the direction of the Toolbreaker and the War Shouter camps. And a few minutes later, he comes back with Unamara the Screaming Banshee. That's the 6'4" woman in armor. And also somebody who I don't believe you've met, but you've definitely seen, Karnag the Bloody, the leader of the Toolbreakers. He is covered head to foot in bone armor, has an obsidian sword, and he's got this thing hanging around his neck, which is really strange. It is the whitest thing you have ever seen. It's like fresh snow, but it's sort of jagged. It might be a crystal or something. You don't know. But the Sun Worshipper brings them over to you and Heartfire Senessa and says, Heartfire Senessa,
why have I been brought here? I have things that I could be doing.
Now, Karnak, let's hear the Heartfire out. Earlier today, I was discussing with her whether it was even worth having this meeting. Indeed, it's on that particular subject that, well, Sorin, isn't it? Why don't you explain the problem that you've brought to me? She kind of dropped you in it there.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out words.
Yeah, no.
Sorin was not expecting
no
this. And she just sort of looks between the two of them and says, we believe that there are things happening to the totem of the snake tribe that may be preventing them joining us. Would you know anything about that?
So Unamara, her face doesn't change. She listens attentively, as if like you're telling her what you had for dinner last night. Karnak, meanwhile, gets steadily redder in the face as you speak. And by the time you finish, she's like, what are you saying? Are you casting accusations at us? Why, I should smash you in half. And he takes a half step forward and just sort of starts raising his fist. And before he goes much further, three things happen all at once. The two sun worshippers with the spears, who are just sort of standing around, are suddenly behind him with their spears ready. Heartfire Senessa has just taken a half step to move herself between you and him, and Unamara has put a hand sort of on his chest to stop him going forwards any further. Now, Karnak, it's obvious that they're concerned for their friends. Let's not do anything hasty and have ourselves barred from the meeting. But what she's saying is what she's saying. We don't need to concern ourselves about it. Indeed, do you know anything about what Sorin is suggesting, Unamara? Unamara is kind of looking between all of you. And she's like, I'm afraid we have no idea. If the snake tribe has been laxed in their rights, then perhaps they should pray more or do something similar. I don't know why you think it would be us. I mean, we want nothing to do with the snake tribe. They are a problem to us. Heartfire Senessa just sort of... She's giving them the... we're still playing this game, look. And she just goes, so if I were to send scouts there now, they wouldn't find anything. No, of course not. Very well, you two, go and go to the Snake Tribe's lands and see what is happening at their totem. The two sun worshippers just nod and immediately set off. And Karnak is like, fuck. But you get the impression that Karnak's not the thinker of this particular pairing, and Unamara looks and watches them go off with a sort of sly look in her eye, and then looks back to you all and goes, if that's all, I would like to return to my camp. And the Heartfire Senessa just sort of nods, and Unamara leaves, but she leaves rather more rapidly than you'd expect. She doesn't, like, saunter off. She kind of scurries, which is difficult to do when you're 6'4" and covered in armour. And very soon afterwards, you see the various shaman of the two tribes starting to do some kind of shamanic ritual. At which point, Cole comes over with the Elk Tribe, Granmak, and the Tribe of the Poison Vines.
Are we not needed now?
I don't know. How did that go, Sorin?
Two of the sun worshippers have gone to investigate what is going on at the snake totem. The tall breakers and war shouters said they knew nothing of it, but they seem to be in rather a hurry to sort of gestures over it where they're clearly starting to do shamanic things.
I see. So, we're not needed then, in which case I will go and rest because, frankly, I am exhausted.
He gives the Tribe of the Poison Vines leader a look and then wanders off. Red Frog sort of looks around the grouping and gives you a little nod and also heads off. The Elk Spirit, meanwhile, seems to be willing to stay and chat for a moment. So you've solved another little problem, I see.
We will hope so.
Might make interesting allies. I have to choose what is best for my tribe, not what is necessarily best for you. I hope you understand in the future. And then he turns and leaves. Now, does anybody want to do anything in the next day and a half? Because otherwise I'm going to spend time on a little.
Does the snake shaman come out? Because we've got to keep her okay. I don't know. Are multi-day shaman things a thing?
I mean, not normally, but she's a pretty powerful shaman, so maybe for her.
It's the whole, you need to have, like, food and water on occasion, and I don't know if you can do that in the spirit world.
No, you can't. You absolutely can't. Yeah, she doesn't come out today.
Okay. I've got nothing special. It's just sort of keep up with the whole be nice, don't antagonize people thing.
Is anybody going to do anything about the Tribe of the Poison Vines, Tribe of the Heart-Eating Tribe issue?
That is the one I was thinking about. Because we've established it seems to be a misunderstanding, but it's whether we can get that information across to them in a way that they'll believe. So I guess at some point, when they're all back in camp, Soren will probably gather the others to figure out how to get it across to them in a way that they'll actually believe us.
Please feel free to go ahead and have that conversation. I'm going to take a little rest.
We have learnt from our conversations with Grand Mac and with Red Frog that, well, how this war between them began. I don't think we should be keeping this to ourselves.
But this has been going on for quite a long time now, hasn't it? So why would they believe us?
That is the question. How do we have these stories shared without it seeming like we are just telling stories?
Perhaps we could disseminate them to the other tribes somehow. Sort of quietly sort of spreading the story around.
I don't know. Both Grand Mac and Red Frog seem to be very particularly involved. There seemed to be a certain amount of personal enmity between the two, unless I'm massively misreading that. Lore question, did we ever find out how long ago this all started?
It's been a while.
In the past. Right, okay.
Probably, like, at least 10 winters, you reckon? Nobody's given you an exact time.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, at least 10 winters. So it's been a considerable amount of time.
So that puts both leaders alive and probably adult when it happened?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's definitely the sort of thing that makes it personal.
Definitely Grand Mac was alive. Because I believe Red Frog told you that he literally was the one who raised all of their dead. So, Grand Mac definitely alive. And, yeah, Red Frog is old enough to have been alive at the time, not necessarily the leader you don't know, but definitely alive at the time.
Any thoughts? We could just tell them and hope, but I don't know if that is the best way.
Well, it might at least get them talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So, my question then becomes, are you intending to discuss this with each one separately or try and get them all together to discuss it together? Which way around would you like to do it?
Well, if we do it separately, it's...
I mean, it would be calmer.
It'll be karma, but it'll be just like us saying, oh, you know, this is what they said.
Mm.
And then going to that others going, well, this is what they said.
I mean, it might be something where we can organize it by chatting with them separately and then see if they're willing to talk to each other without killing each other.
Okay. Who's going to which group? Everyone's trying to find the nicest way to say not Grand Mac, aren't they?
I mean, I do not want to brain anymore this evening.
I mean, generally, I assume Kirst talks to Grand Mac because Kirst gave her heart.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, okay.
That is an important in with them.
Yeah. Kursk has effectively permanently volunteered himself to be ambassador to the heart-eating tribe.
Because he, like, ate a heart.
Same as Fren has permanently volunteered himself to be ambassador to the fire people.
Because I burned myself a bit.
Because yes. You hung off a cliff while burning yourself a bit. Yeah, they like you quite some amount. Before you go and talk to these various tribes, then, does anyone want to make me an aware check?
Always.
I can try.
Mm-hmm.
Though if my brain's anything. I have 4 traits and aware. How many dice does that get me?
5. You're looking for a 6 okay, on any cool. one of the D6s.
No successes for me.
Okay.
I do get a 6.
Okay.
I've got 1.
Okay.
I've got 1.
Okay. So. For each of the people who succeeded, I'm going to go around the group. I'm going to ask you, friend or enemy? So, first things first. Archive, friend or enemy?
Does it relate to anything? Do I just say one?
Just one or the other, yeah.
Friend.
Okay, you notice that the elk tribe are sort of, they're having an internal meeting, you reckon? The elk spirit is sitting sort of in the middle between 2 relatively equal-sized groups, and they're all discussing backwards and forwards. At this point, I'm going to go to Blooded. Friend or enemy?
Enemy.
You notice that the Toolbreaker's shaman have just stopped doing their rite. They go over to Karnag and tell him something. And he rushes over to speak to Unamara, and he's obviously having a very intense conversation with her that he doesn't want to be having. You don't know whether he looks concerned or like frightened or angry. It's hard to tell because he's covered head to foot in fucking bone armor. And then Hardwick, friend or enemy?
Friend.
You can see that the Tribe of Fire is currently holding a fire ritual, and there's a few of the Toolbreakers and a few of the War Shouters flat out getting involved with it. And they're doing like not unimpressive stuff, not quite as impressive as, you know, hanging off the side of a mountain while on fire, but still stuff that is going to endear them to the fire tribe. Let's put it that way. But now, back to the previous, talking to other tribes in progress. So there are some machinations going on in the background.
Right. So just so I'm clear, what am I asking Grand Mac to do?
Are we just going to tell them then what we found out?
Were we saying we were going to invite both sides to a meeting within a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not against the idea of telling them what we've found out and saying, if this isn't the sort of thing that you were expecting, do you want to have a chat with them and find out? That sort of angle might work, but I don't know.
Yes, okay. Did that answer your question, Bloodit?
So we're going to get them to come together for a chat.
Yes, but you might tell them what you found out before you say, come have a chat, so that you've got a reason why you can go over.
Okay, do we have like a time/venue for this, or?
Well, no, I mean, you've got a venue. It's going to be the meeting stones. But you could probably get them into your camp. That wouldn't be unusual to invite people to your own camp. The Toolbreakers have been doing it all meeting so far.
Mm, okay.
Okay, so are you heading over to Grand Mac?
Yeah, I'll head over to Grand Mac.
Okay. The zombies see you coming, but they do not react to you, and you go into Grand Mac's like yurt-like tent. He's in there burning some kind of foul-smelling herb, and he looks up as you come in, and you realize when you saw him earlier, he was obviously making an effort to look like strong and not fucked up, because he looks fucked up when you come in here. It's not particularly hot in here, but he is really sweating badly, and he you can see his muscles are twitching here and there under his skin.
Ah, it's one of you. Good. Come and have a sit down.
Yeah, I will sit down as directed.
Oh, your friend saved me from the worst of the poison, but as you can see, there are a few after effects that I'm still working my way through. Please feel free to partake of the smoke if you so wish.
Thank you. Just trying to figure out how to phrase this. We've been doing some checking around, just sort of trying to sort of get to the bottom of all the hostility that exists. And it's kind of weird, because obviously you told us how it was from your perspective and everything. But when we talked to, and I've completely forgotten their name because I'm brilliant like that.
Red Frog. I mean, she's naked and bright red.
Yeah, but she isn't a frog, so it's very confusing.
No,
yeah. But Red Frog, and, well, I mean, obviously it could just be that, you know, she's lying or so, but
Can't believe a word of her speaking.
Mm-hmm. No, so we just figured, you know, let's get both sides. And she said that, they didn't attack in the first place. The first they knew of it was when, you know, you sent the retaliatory, from your perspective, zombie incursion.
Well, I mean, what would you expect her to say?
I
poisoned half of Grand Mac's tribe.
Obviously. But she was very... She was very convincing about it. So, well, what got me thinking was maybe, what if there was like a third party who were involved in all this, who deliberately stirred up a situation, trying to make so to turn you turn the two different tribes against each other.
Mm-hmm. And who would have done such a thing?
Well, I mean, the question is, you know, who would benefit from that? You know, who would get the most benefit out of, you know, these two tribes, neighboring tribes, being weakened?
Grand Mac's looking quite cross. Who indeed? Whose lands expanded? He actually stands up and walks outside, and he's glaring over towards the fire tribe. Because I think you heard from somebody that the fire tribe moved onto the plateau, which used to be Heart-Eating Tribe land, kind of around that time.
Mm.
But how would they have done it?
Well, you say that it was the meat that seems to have been the vector of getting the poison in, so. Perhaps they found a way to sneak it on. Like I said, this is all just, you know, it's speculation and thought.
But, I mean, if, would you be willing to at least speak if we were to invite both you and Red Frog to...
That depends. Is she going to try and poison me again?
Well, no, we would be there as well, and we would ensure that there would be no foul play, no tricks, no attacks. We just sit down and we talk.
This is acceptable.
Nothing, it solves nothing, but it's worth a try.
It's acceptable to me. I have no wish to be poisoned further.
Mm-hmm. No, understandable. Totally understandable. Oh, thank you. I will return to my colleagues and I will let you know when we're ready to go.
Okay. So, at this point, I will go to whoever's going to talk to Red Frog, which I suspect is Soren.
Or Fren.
Yes, but I'm working on the basis that Fren has said multiple times that my brain has stopped working.
I mean, mine's not doing well either, but sure.
Okay. So you head over to, Jesus Christ, my brain glitched there. You head
it's
over to Red
Frog.
Very
late for all this politics.
I know, right? It's like, I remember writing this and then going, I mean, this will be a little interlude between all of the violencing. And then it's turned into a major thing. And I'm like, oh no. But anyway.
I mean, in fairness, the violencing requires less brain.
Yes. The
violencing, we're good at the violencing. Politics is hard.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, you head over to Red Frog and she's quite happy to welcome you in. She draws you into her little domed hut thing. Yes, you're back, crafter. Well, yes. It turns out that you are skilled in crafting. You did indeed make a very effective antidote. Well done.
Thank you.
She's like, I'm sorry, didn't that innuendo just pass clean over their head? I'm not certain. Go on.
Soren was choosing to take that at face value. We have been talking to... Well, we spoke to you, and we've spoken to Granmac, trying to understand how it was that you went from being neighbours and trading partners to the current situation.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
What Granmac has told us is that from his perspective, and this is Granmac, so...
So it's probably a lie, but go on.
I don't know. He seems like a very blunt man. Lies take a certain level of thought, don't you think?
True.
He says that one day after you were traded, there were 2 weeks where 3/4 of their tribe died. And one of the things that had been traded was food.
She looks at you like, what?
In his mind, this horde of the dead that came charging at you was a retaliation.
A retaliation for what? We traded some food. He thinks we poisoned all the food we traded him.
This is Granmac, and that does seem to be the assumption that he jumps to.
I mean, even if they ate it raw, it would be very difficult to poison that much meat in such a way that people would be able to eat it and not vomit it straight back up. You can see she's actually calculating that in her head as she talks to you, which isn't a great look. It's not like, it doesn't fill you with confidence that she didn't do it.
But it certainly fills me with confidence that she knows what she's talking about.
That would be an almost impossible feat to achieve. There's no... For a start, we were trading with them. Why would we suddenly poison them?
That is a question that we are also asking Granmac to consider. What we would like to suggest is that you and Granmac come to a meeting in our camp just to discuss.
Providing his zombies aren't there, because I don't doubt that they could quite happily tear me to pieces if they are there.
I'm sure we can ask them to stay outside of our camp.
Hmm. Good. Well, I'm quite happy to turn up and put Grand Mag straight, because there is no... The sheer amount of poison that would take would have been phenomenal. But unless you can come up with a reason for him to understand why his people died, it's not going to make any difference. He did attack us. So unless you can prove, I don't know, that somebody else poisoned his people or something else happened, it's not really going to make any difference. But I'll come to a meeting.
Thank you.
As you step out of her, yeah, there's like some hullabaloo going on. And coming down the path are a bunch of people. They are all wearing leather that has been stained green. They are carrying these poles with sort of flapping ribbons or something hanging from them. You can't really see from this distance. And they are banging cymbals as they come, like these big flap. Oh, no, they wouldn't be cymbals because you have to have metal for cymbals. They're banging together like wooden discs to make a sort of clacking noise as they come. As they come towards the meeting stones, the tool breakers and the war shelters look distinctly unhappy to see them here. Heartfire Sinessa starts heading over towards them. And as she gets to the entrance to the area where you're all camping, she loudly proclaims, "Great Serpent, it is gladdening to see you here." And the woman at the front says, "I am the Great Snake Speaker, not Great Serpent. I have a gift for some of the people already here at the meeting stones. It is an offering, shall I say?" "Oh, well, please feel free to present it to them." And she and her people head straight over to between the tool breakers and the wall breakers, war shouters, just outside that door that they've made in their sort of fence that they've set up around. And she waves some of her people forward, and they come forward with these sacks. "I believe that these belong to you." And they pour out 10 decapitated heads. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going to end for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the politicking as much as our players have enjoyed trying to get their brains to do the politicking. If you have enjoyed it, then please do feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your Podgers reviews, your Podbean reviews. You can talk to us at thecultofteeanddice.net or thecultofteeanddice@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.